Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, what do you do when you realize that there are bad guys, really bad guys, on both teams? And you're supposed to choose a team to play on. You're supposed to be a part of it. The story that we're going to talk about on today's broadcast is one that many of you are probably somewhat aware of, and others of you may have never heard of, but it's going to be very upsetting to you either way. If you know about this, this bothers you. If you don't know about this, this is going to bother you. Don't change the station, because I'll tell you, this is something we need to know about, we need to pray about, and we need to help the folks who are doing something about it. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Jordan Sekulow. He is an attorney. He's host of Jay Sekulow Live. I had the pleasure of being at his bar mitzvah years ago. He's a syndicated radio host, and his dad, Jay Sekulow, of course, is known to many of our listeners. We've had Jay on the broadcast before. But I asked Jordan to come on, and the reason is Jordan has served as a liaison between the ACLJ and its international affiliates. And this particular case is one that is just heartbreaking and infuriating. And here I'll read from a press release from the ACLJ. "Young boys are dressed up like women and forced to dance for older men. The boys are then auctioned off as sex slaves to the highest bidder, forced to endure years of rape, sexual abuse, and slavery at the hands of their masters. In a word, it's torture, sexual torture. And at the ACLJ, we're taking direct action." They have filed, folks, critical legal documents at the United Nations demanding an end to this grotesque practice. But the horror described is just the tip of the iceberg of the twisted world that is Afghanistan's ancient tradition of boy play. The practice, which has been present for centuries in Afghanistan, is once again rampant in the war-torn country, with some intelligence reports claiming one in every 10 Afghan boys are victims of this abhorrent practice. Perpetrators span all facets of society, including high-ranking officials in the government and security forces, and they're allowed to systematically rape and traffic young boys with virtual impunity. It was first brought to the ACLJ's attention, and then they in turn brought it to our attention, as they began advocating for Sergeant First Class Charles Martland, a member of the U.S. military, who could potentially be expelled from the Army very soon now for standing up to an Afghan commander who was blatantly sexually abusing young boys as that commander was working on a U.S. military base. After uncovering the massive scope of the practice, the ACLJ realized that their advocacy could not be limited to Sergeant First Class Martland. So they've now broadened their efforts to fight for the protection of the boys of Afghanistan on the international stage. And through their European affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, where my son, by the way, used to work and was close friends with Jordan, but through the European Center for Law and Justice, which has consultative status at the UN, they were able to file legal documents with the UN urging action on behalf of the thousands of sexually abused boys in Afghanistan. And the statement, which was filed with the UN Human Rights Council, urges the United Nations to, quote, take action and condemn policies that ignore the plight of the abused boys of Afghanistan and prohibit intervention. Please understand that. We're talking about policies that prohibit intervention in cases where children are being abused. Those policies must be changed. Specifically, the press release says, our legal filing condemns all non-intervention policies which have allowed this practice to go unchecked for so long. In the name of cultural tolerance and military strategy, the international community has ignored the blatant sexual abuse and human trafficking surrounding boy play, as it's called. Bakabazi, I think, is the Afghan term. Because the main perpetrators are potential allies in the war on terror. Please process that, folks. These are the people we've been looking to as demanding an end to this grotesque practice. But the horror described is just the tip of the iceberg of the twisted world that is Afghanistan's ancient tradition of boy play. The practice, which has been present for centuries in Afghanistan, is once again rampant in the war-torn country, with some intelligence reports claiming one in every 10 Afghan boys are victims of this abhorrent practice. Perpetrators span all facets of society, including high-ranking officials in the government and security forces, and they're allowed to systematically rape and traffic young boys with virtual impunity. It was first brought to the ACLJ's attention, and then they in turn brought it to our attention, as they began advocating for Sergeant First Class Charles Martland, a member of the U.S. military, who could potentially be expelled from the Army very soon now for standing up to an Afghan commander who was blatantly sexually abusing young boys as that commander was working on a U.S. military base. After uncovering the massive scope of the practice, the ACLJ realized that their advocacy could not be limited to Sergeant First Class Martland. So they've now broadened their efforts to fight for the protection of the boys of Afghanistan on the international stage. And through their European affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, where my son, by the way, used to work and was close friends with Jordan, but through the European Center for Law and Justice, which has consultative status at the UN, they were able to file legal documents with the UN urging action on behalf of the thousands of sexually abused boys in Afghanistan. And the statement, which was filed with the UN Human Rights Council, urges the United Nations to, quote, take action and condemn policies that ignore the plight of the abused boys of Afghanistan and prohibit intervention. Please understand that. We're talking about policies that prohibit intervention in cases where children are being abused. Those policies must be changed. Specifically, the press release says, our legal filing condemns all non-intervention policies which have allowed this practice to go unchecked for so long. In the name of cultural tolerance and military strategy, the international community has ignored the blatant sexual abuse and human trafficking surrounding boy play, as it's called. Bakabazi, I think, is the Afghan term. Because the main perpetrators are potential allies in the war on terror. Please process that, folks. These are the people we've been looking to as...
And there was this abuse. It's been somewhat reported that's kind of accepted in some parts of the Afghan society, not mm-hmm. all, but some. Mm-hmm. And Charles Martland was approached. He's a Green Beret. Was approached by a family of one of the boys being abused by an Afghan local police officer. There's the ALP, which is a force that the U.S. helped to create. And so there's a lot of coordination between U.S. officials and members of the Afghan local police, and they utilize our bases. So this was happening on our facilities, and this family came distraught, came to Charles Martland, and they removed this official. It was not overly violent. It did not result in anyone getting seriously injured. It was heated. And there was a note put in his file that maybe this wasn't the right chain of command. Now, 3 years later, and you've got the sequester in the military, a downsizing of our military, and there's a review board that looks at bureaucratically who should be eligible to reenlist. And initially, yeah. He did reenlist. And because of this blemish on his record, they've come back and said, no, he can't. And this is someone highly trained, by the U.S. government, obviously by taxpayer dollars, to get to that level of Green Beret. So what it's done, it's now gotten to the final appeal stage, and this is it's through a military records of appeal board, but it's gotten political as well because there is a new Secretary of the Army up for confirmation, and members of Congress we worked with, like Congressman Duncan Hunter, Senator Pat Roberts, have put a hold on that nomination, inquiring specifically about this issue.
Good.
Now, the overall, and we've had almost 300,000 people sign on the petition for Sergeant Martlin.
And I'm one of them.
And he wants to, that's great, he wants to continue to serve our country. And this is someone, again, highly trained, who wants to continue to voluntarily serve, to re-enlist. But it also exposes, you talked about, this bigger issue. And now the Pentagon has a inspector general doing a full investigation into the abuse of children in Afghanistan, specifically young boys, and this practice there. That again, because we have the authority, so much authority there, and we've instilled leadership positions to local Afghans, whether it's the police force or the military.
Right.
Obviously, the U.S. has a direct interest in preventing this as well.
Well, I'm so grateful for the leadership role that your organization has taken. The ACLJ has been on the cutting edge with this, and I really appreciate the work you've been doing, and also the work you've been doing to bring this before the American people and make folks aware here at home of one of the horrible evils that is going on among the people that we call our allies. Because that's what complicates this. The Taliban is less likely to molest these boys than the warlords that we've been making common cause with, because we want to work with them to stop the Taliban.
That's right. It's an issue. We know it's uncomfortable. And when you start talking about an issue like this, it's not the easiest one to fully digest. Also, the magnitude and the level that this is happening on. But it is a widespread practice that a lot of our military forces, unfortunately, who have served our country and have risked their lives or given their lives for freedom in Afghanistan, have had to deal with. And there has not been a real clear strategy from our government to those members of our armed forces who are oftentimes at these far-off forward operating bases, dealing with a lot of difficult situations every day, and they need guidance. And the guidance has kind of been, unfortunately, and that's why this investigation is now being opened up by the Pentagon, to kind of look the other way. And so it's caused psychological damage to our own forces, and it's been a tough topic to address. And as you said, they're supposed to be trusting these individuals, not only to police their local communities, but also, you know, they're armed, they are working amongst, they are sometimes trained and certainly empowered by our forces. And so it has exposed a bigger issue, and not one easy to talk about, but one I think we have a moral duty to confront. And then we ultimately know that in Charles Martlin's situation, this can be resolved fairly quickly. The Secretary of Defense, President Obama, even could issue a very direct order. It does not have to go through a long political process. And allow him to be to reenlist and move on. As you know, and as anyone with family members in the military or if they serve know, it's very unusual for someone to even take these kind of steps. But that's how strongly he feels about his situation, and how strongly he feels about serving our country.
Well, I thank God for his desire to serve and for his courage in standing up against an evil practice. In one of your press releases, you mentioned that there are some intelligence reports claiming that one in every 10 Afghan boys are victims of this abhorrent practice. And that has to be addressed.
That's how widespread this really hard for us to imagine, hard to judge, hard to fully, you know, just comprehend.
Aware here at home of one of the horrible evils that is going on among the people that we call our allies. Because that's what complicates this. The Taliban is less likely to molest these boys than the warlords that we've been making common cause with because we want to work with them to stop the Taliban.
That's right. It's an issue. We know it's uncomfortable, and when you start talking about an issue like this, it's not the easiest one to fully digest also the magnitude and the level that this is happening on. But it is a widespread practice that a lot of our military forces, unfortunately, who have served our country and have risked their lives or given their lives for freedom in Afghanistan have had to deal with. And there has not been a real clear strategy from our government to those members of our armed forces who are oftentimes at these far-off forward operating bases dealing with a lot of difficult situations every day, and they need guidance. And the guidance has kind of been, unfortunately, and that's why this investigation is now being opened up by the Pentagon, mm-hmm. to kind of look the other way. And so it's caused psychological damage to our own forces, and it's been a tough topic to address. And as you said, they're supposed to be trusting these individuals, mm-hmm. Not only to police their local communities, but also, you know, they're armed, they are working amongst, they are sometimes trained and certainly empowered by our forces. And so it has exposed a bigger issue, and it's not one easy to talk about, but one I think we have a moral duty to confront. And then we ultimately know that in Charles Martin's situation, this can be resolved fairly quickly. The Secretary of Defense, President Obama even, could issue a very direct order. It does not have to go through a long political process and allow him to be to reenlist and move on. As you know, and as anyone with family members in the military or if they serve know, it's very unusual for someone to even take these kind of steps. But that's how strongly he feels about his situation and, mm-hmm. and how strongly he feels about serving our country.
Well, I thank God for his desire to serve and for his courage in standing up against an evil practice. In one of your press releases, you mentioned that there are some intelligence reports claiming that one in every 10 Afghan boys are victims of this abhorrent practice. And that has to be addressed.
That's how widespread this really hard for us to imagine, hard to judge, hard to fully, you know, just comprehend.
Needs our services as well. Please visit WVR to learn more. That's WVR.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Folks, I am grateful that there are organizations like the ACLJ and others that we've had representatives from on this broadcast across the years. I'm very grateful that God, within the body of Christ, has raised up various people to do various tasks. And it is vital that Christians serve where the Lord places them. If you're an expert in constitutional law, like the folks at the ACLJ, then you can make a difference for those of us who aren't. If you are a gifted evangelist, then you can go to places where other people haven't been and present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But nobody can take your place where God placed you if you are serving Him. Whether you're a dad who really seeks to point your children to the Heavenly Father, or a mom who seeks to honor your husband and to demonstrate by your response to him the way that all of us are supposed to respond to our Lord. If you think that sounds awfully chauvinistic, just go back and read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, because that's what Paul says a wife is supposed to do. If you're a child, you may have unsaved parents, but by the way that you respond to them and show the love of Christ toward them, you can be a witness right there where you are, in school, at work, in your community, in your neighborhood. Wherever God has placed you, you have a role to play. As I said, I thank God for our friends at the ACLJ, but I thank God for you. As you encourage other people to study God's Word, as you, I've been so grateful to hear from people who were encouraged to listen to this broadcast by somebody else who was listening. I had the opportunity several years ago to meet a lady who said that her husband's life was changed, and she wanted to know what had made the difference, and she asked him, what happened? And he said, well, actually, I've given my life to Christ. I started listening to this radio broadcast, Abiding in Christ, and I've given my life to the Lord, and that's what's changed me. Folks, Jesus is the one who makes the difference. Jesus is the one who makes all the difference. So wherever you are, and whatever God's called you to do, whatever role you're in, please know that you can make a difference. And I urge you to pray. Pray for Charles Martland. Pray for the ACLJ. Pray for those in government who are seeking to do the right thing and stand up for truth and righteousness. Pray for those who are serving in the military in very difficult circumstances, not just their life in danger, but how do you take a stand for righteousness when your superiors in the military are trying to enforce a policy that says you mustn't do anything about a child who's being molested? I mean, what do you do in a case like that? Just say, well, I've got to follow orders? Or do you say, no, I take orders from a higher authority. I cannot do whatever the commander says if it goes directly against what God says. The German soldiers who were tried at Nuremberg, who said, we were just following orders. That was no excuse. And the fact of the matter is, anybody at any level of society who thinks that because somebody else told them to do something wrong, it makes it okay for them to do it, that's going to be no excuse on Judgment Day. Pray for those who are seeking to do the right thing, that God will give them courage and that God will give them success and that God will reward them for doing the right thing. And pray for us, if you would, because believe me, we've got plenty of challenges right here. I would encourage you to visit our website, pastorwood.org, find out about an upcoming trip that I'm going to be taking to Kenya and to India and to Germany and even a little jaunt up into Norway. The Norway part is just because it only costs $200 to go there. But the rest of the trip is a missions trip. And I want to encourage you to pray for us as we seek to spread the love of Jesus everywhere we go. We've been partnering with friends in India and in Kenya for years. One of the folks we'll be working with in India is a graduate of Ware's Valley Ranch. He went to school here at St. Andrew's School at Ware's Valley Ranch. Now he's on the mission field in India, and he's working with another excellent organization, Compassion International, helping to care for the children in a village there near the city of Lucknow. We're going to go and visit that work and seek to encourage him. Such a joy to see folks that we help disciple out serving the Lord in other places around the world. And so I would ask you to pray for us. And if you are willing to do that, go to pastorwood.org and click on the little icon up on the top of the screen where it says praying for you. I want to hear from you that you're praying for us. It'll mean a great deal to us because I know I've heard from another friend who's in India right now. Spiritual warfare there is very intense. If you're sensitive to spiritual things, you will be aware of the presence of very strong forces. My Indian friends tell me that it is palpable, the demonic forces in that place. And we're going there to shine for Jesus. Pray for us, please. Pray for us in Kenya. Pray that I don't get mosquito bites with malaria in them. Just pray that God will use our team for His glory, and we will be grateful. And I want you to know we pray for you, our listeners. God bless you as you serve Christ. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at wvr.org.